Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody. We made it through the last week. I know there's still some hardships and struggles going on, but we're glad and happy to be here together again today to join together for worship. You may have noticed a little bit different as we started this morning that there were two different songs that played there. Daryl, I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to call them out. So there's two different things. I'm going to call us out, and then I'm going to call us as ministers and leadership and things like that out as well on this. One, when that song that has the words and the lyrics and the music up there, that's intended for you guys to actually sing when we come in. So now you'll see before we'll actually have our call to worship type time where there's a song playing. That will be to let you know, let's come in and sit down and we'll have a song that plays. Now, we did not do very good with that today. But one of the problems with that is we didn't tell you the expectation that that song's not just there for our enjoyment in the background. That's there for us to come together as a call to worship. So I'll be looking forward to that in the weeks to come. We'll have a song that'll play that'll kind of let us know, come on in. And then that one after it, we want you guys to sing out with. A lot of those songs are the ones from the Praise and Harmony. And so it's good ones for us to be listening to and learning. So it's a great chance we have for that to be something we get to do each week when we come in. The same song, All in All, will also play when we dismiss. With that one, you're more than welcome to sit and to keep singing with that one, but you are dismissed once that song starts playing at the end of service. So we don't have a whole lot of announcements for things today. It is one of our small group Sundays, so I'm sure many of you will be meeting either this afternoon or this evening with small groups. I do want to remind the youth group and their families that right after this service concludes, we'll be across the street in the Family Center for our potluck meal. So please join us over there if you can. And then also youth group, don't forget, on Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 7:30 over in the Family Center, we'll have our midweek revive time that you can come and hang out there, and we'll spend some time in prayer. We know that there are lots of needs out there from some of you. You'll hear this again many times today, but if there's something that we can be doing for you, please don't hesitate to let one of the elders, one of the ministers know. We want to make sure that our family here is being well taken care of. As we start out our time together today, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's pray together as we begin our worship today. Father, we are so grateful that you are a God who is in control and has always been in control and will always be in control. A God that we know, that we can trust, that we can turn to. Father, we know that you are a God of faithfulness. And you are a God of faithfulness to your people. Lord, today as we are gathered, we know that it's been a difficult week for so many, not just people here, but across the state, across this country that are struggling. And Father, we ask that we know the ways that we can reach out and help. We know that you will provide, but Father, we want to be your instruments. We want to be your tools that can reach out to be your hands and feet to those that are in need. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have to be joined together. May it be a time that we can encourage one another and ultimately to praise you. Father, open up our hearts, our minds, our mouths to you and the things that we say, the things that we share with each other today. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to us each and every day. Bless us during this time. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
It has been difficult last week, right? Well, we're all here. You know, I was thinking about this last week and all the different things that I saw on news and other stuff. I saw people making a concerted effort to make sure that other people were safe. I saw people with homes that were out of power, and neighbors were helping to find sources for warmth and comfort. I saw people in the ditch, and I saw troops of guys in Jeeps and four-wheel vehicles that were out pulling people out. I didn't see looters. I didn't see dumpster fires. I saw people helping people. So in a lot of ways, what I saw this last week wasn't the bad. Yeah, there was a lot of cold and a lot of pain, but at the same time, I saw some people who gathered together and acted like Americans. And I saw God's people doing God's work. Let's stand together and sing, because our God is alive.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Please be seated.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Hallelujah. quickly. Hallelujah.
David's going to be speaking this morning about restoration and the renewal that comes through God and through Christ. So we're going to sing this song, and then David's going to come and speak.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith. Oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith. Oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fears with faith so bold. Renew my love, renew my faith, oh, restore my soul.
Amen. Thank you, Daryl. You recognize this picture? This is from Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, made the prediction on Groundhog Day, February the 2nd, that we would have 6 more weeks of winter. I understand that he'll have to do next year's prediction virtually in an undisclosed location because of death threats from Texas residents. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it has been tough, like Daryl And what Wes was saying, I too have to say, I am so proud of this church. I just saw so many things that showed your love and your willingness to serve others. We used our building as a warming station. Some people spent the night. A lot of people came during the day just to get out of the cold. I think that's a great statement in our community of how we're willing to help. A lot of people were served food. A lot of people were helped with problems at their homes. You just shined this week, and I'm so proud of you. And I know it made an impact on our community. And more importantly, it was to the glory of God. And that's what counts. That's what it's about. So let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're here today because we love you. Because we want to worship you. We want to be together to be able to say how great and awesome our God is. What a great God we have. And we do want you to restore our souls. We want to be renewed. We want to be able to find in ourselves that spirit, that desire to want to serve you and to serve others in your name, to your glory. And we ask, Father, that what we say here this morning as I speak on your behalf, that it'll speak your words clearly of what you expect from us. And we pray, Father, we'll have the courage to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been with me, and it seems like it's been a long time ago when I preached about this, but I began a series from Nehemiah and Ezra to talk about restoring the city of Jerusalem. Remember, Ezra was a part of the rebuilding of the temple and the reestablishing the priesthood and getting people to come back to a covenant relationship with God after they had been in captivity for years. But as the prophecy had said in Jeremiah, that in 70 years they would return, a remnant would return, and Ezra was part of that. And then Nehemiah later was a part of the group that went back to rebuild the city around the temple and to rebuild the walls and to reestablish commerce in the city of Jerusalem. So we're going to take those two books and we're going to take some principles about restarting. and how they apply to us as we restart, because we haven't been doing things the way we usually do them. But as we talk about restarting, doing things normal, as we often say, what principles do we need to take with that from God's Word? And let me be clear about how I feel about this, and I hope you join me in doing this. I don't want to go back to normal. I want to go back to better. I want to be better than what we were before. That's not to say that we were terrible before, but I believe we can do better. And I believe the time that we've had in doing things differently gives us a chance to examine how we've been doing things and to see if there are places where we can do better. But the principles that we talked about the last time we were together, we said it needs to be, whatever we do, we need to revere, we need to have reverence for God. And we need to especially focus on God's timing, God's authority, and God's power. In fact, if what we do in our restart is not with reverence for God and His timing, authority, and power, then we don't need to do it. We don't need to just do what we want to do. We don't need to just restart things because we would feel better if we were doing the normal things that we're used to. We need to do what we do in a way that shows our reverence for God and for His timing and His authority and His power. We gave an illustration of this, of Esther, you'll remember, that Mordecai said to Ezra, "Who knows but what God has put you in this place for a time such as this." God's timing. And that God did it in His power. And through the authority of God, she was to show the life that was supposed to be lived as a person who was a Jewish girl. We also know that Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of Babylon, he had a dream one night, and he dreamed about this statue that was divided into different parts, and he couldn't figure out what in the world it meant, and he called his wise men in, and they said, "Well, tell us what you dreamed, and we'll interpret it for you." And he said, "No, if you're so wise, tell me what I dreamed." And they couldn't do it, of course. And they said, "Well, they had heard of this Jewish man, one of the people in captivity, that could interpret dreams." And so Daniel was brought before the king, and they went through the same routine. And Daniel said, "All right, this is what you dreamed." And he told him his dream, and then he told him the meaning of the dream. And he said, "You are in the kingdom of the head of the statue, the Babylonian Empire. After you will come another empire, and then after that, another empire." And he told the parts of the statues that stood for Persia and for Greece and for eventually the Roman Empire. And he said, during the time of the Roman Empire, he didn't name the empire, but during the time of that empire, a small stone that's taken without hands will be cast against the statue, and the statue will fall, but from that small stone will come a mighty mountain, the kingdom of God. And with that, Daniel made the prophecy of the messianic kingdom of Christ. And it said exactly what time it would come. Later, as you read in Daniel, it gets more specific about the time that it'll come. So timing is important in God's plan. In fact, Galatians 4:4 says, "In the fullness of time," or when the time had been complete, "Christ was born of a woman, born under law." God had timing in this that was in His divine plan. And although prophecy spoke of it, it wasn't left up to man to figure out how to make God's timing work. God's timing is going to work by His authority and by His power. And these need to work together. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. And I want us to see how this is illustrated in Paul's mission work. We're going to start in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 18. And this is the story of Saul, as he was known then, who later became the Apostle Paul, about his conversion experience. And you'll remember that he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him, this shining light. It blinded him, and God spoke to him about his plan for the future. So beginning in verse 10, remember, Saul is blind, and he's waiting to hear what he's supposed to do. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is a chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. In God's timing, exactly at the time that God wanted it to take place, Jesus appeared to Saul. Saul heard the message from Ananias, and he was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to be used as God's chosen vessel. Now look over in chapter 13, and you'll see in this passage where he's called to become a missionary. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of the Lord in the Jewish synagogues. And John was with them as their helper. Look at God's timing. He was invited to join Jesus. He became a Christian. He was baptized. And he began to learn from the Lord. But he wasn't ready yet. And then when the time was right, God, through the leaders of the church in Antioch, as they were fasting and praying about doing God's will, it was revealed to them that Saul should be sent out with Barnabas to be a missionary. That was God's timing. But notice it was also by God's authority. Ananias could have refused to do what God said to do. In this situation, the elders of the church at Antioch could have refused to do what God was telling them to do. The Holy Spirit had a timing. He had a plan, something that needed to be done. And they had the opportunity to disobey, but by keeping with God's timing, they did what they were commanded to do, and they laid hands on them and prayed for them and sent them out into the mission field. When they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were able to do miracles. They were able to preach the word of God. They were able to have an impact on people's lives because of God's power. Without it, they had no power. Now look in Acts chapter 16. Now remember, Saul becomes the Apostle Paul. And you have in this passage, he's began to be named Paul here. And he's being recognized as an apostle. He has a lot of authority, and he wants to do certain mission work. He's a missionary of the Lord, and he has the authority to say where he should go, where he should not go. But watch this. Verse 6 of Philippians 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed to Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now look at God's timing here. Paul wants to go to this place, and the Spirit forbids him from going there. He wants to go to another place, and the Spirit forbids him from going there. And then in this night vision, he receives this message by seeing a vision of someone in Macedonia calling to him to come to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul changes his plans from where he was going to go, where he thought was important for him to go, part of God's will to go. He changes his plans completely because in God's timing, that was not where he needed to go. Some of the places that Paul wanted to go, he later goes there. And it's not that God was saying, "No, you never will go there." It's not that it's not part of my plan, but right now it's not my timing for you to go there. And then when you read what happened when they start going to Macedonia and the power that God works in this, you know that the timing of God, the authority of God, and the power of God are working together. Now it's interesting to me when you go to chapter 19, Paul has just preached to a group of people who are still confused about what's going on because all they've heard is the preaching of John the Baptist. They haven't caught up with the news that what John the Baptist was talking about has happened and how that it says that he who comes after me is greater than me and he will baptize by the Holy Spirit, not just water baptism of repentance. But they have not received that baptism, and they know nothing about the Holy Spirit. So Paul preaches to them, and they're obedient, and they're baptized into Christ. And then he says, now this is at Ephesus he does this. He says, "I have to go to other places. God has called me to go to other places, but I will come back to Ephesus if the Lord wills." You get the idea that Paul's caught on to this thing. This is resonating with him. You know, I can't just go anywhere I want to go. I need to wait on God's timing as to whether it's the right place to be. I want to come back to Ephesus. I want to be with these people again. And he says, if the Lord wills. If it's God's timing, if it's God's authority, if it's with God's power. Brothers and sisters, I believe it's important as we talk about what we're going to do in the future. We need to really think about, is it God's timing? Is it with God's authority? Is it with God's power? Because if it's not, we shouldn't do it. No matter how great the plan is, it's not the time to do it. It's not what we should do if we're not sure that it's God's timing, God's authority, and God's power. But how do you know? How do you decide that? How do you know if our restart, whatever it is we're going to try to restart, whatever we're going to try to do in the future, how do we know if it's God's timing? It's kind of funny. 2020 has been a big year in my planning for the future. We had a retreat at the church I was with before I came here, the University Church in Alabama. And we had this retreat, and we had lots of people representing different ministries, and the elders and the deacons and ministry leaders and small group leaders. And we were talking about our 2020 vision. It was a real catchy thing to say, you know, because 2020 vision, when you go to get your eyes checked, you know, 2020 vision for the church. And we had these big plans. And you know, a strange thing, it wasn't God's plan for me to be at that church in 2020. All those plans that we made, all those, I mean, we got banners and we put all over the auditorium advertising our 2020 vision. We came up with 5 mission statements to go with our 2020 vision. We had little armbands that we wore that said 2020 vision. And we had a passage in Jeremiah talking about how that we should be praying for the city. And we had all kinds of things that we were working on that idea. And it's, I don't know that God laughed at me, but he had to be thinking, you're not going to be around here to do this, David. I've got other plans for you. This is not my timing. And then even here, I was excited about 2020 coming with no plan for COVID. Never even crossed my mind that we'd be dealing with a pandemic in 2020. It was not in my mission statement. It was not in my vision for 2020. It wasn't God's timing. Now, I do believe what we've been experiencing is God's timing. And I believe God is wanting us to prepare for doing things differently. Using the time that we've had and the experience we've had and what we've learned about ourselves and what we've learned about our community and what we've learned about people's needs, and apply that to what we do in the future. And whatever we do in our restart, if you want to call it that, it needs to be in God's timing, and it needs to be with God's authority, and it needs to be dependent upon God's power. I don't want to go back to normal. I want to go back to extraordinary. I'm going to go back to doing more than what we were doing before. I believe God expects it of us. So how do we know if whatever we plan to do is really in God's timing? Well, it's not God's timing if it's not with God's authority. So God's authority will not contradict these 3 things. Number 1, God's command properly interpreted from the Bible. If we're properly interpreting God's word and what we're thinking about doing is not according to God's word, then it's not God's timing. It's not what we should do. And we should never do it if it's against God's word. Secondly, it should not contradict God's revealed eternal purpose, plan, or mission. When you read in God's word about what his mission is for the church, we have no right to contradict that. No matter how great we feel like it is, no matter what an ingenious idea we think it is, oh man, this is the greatest plan we've ever come up with for this church. If it doesn't fit God's eternal plan and mission and work of the church, then it's not what we should do. And 3, it will not contradict God's character, righteousness, and love. If what we do as a church does not represent the Lord Jesus Christ, if it does not represent the God that we know is a God of righteousness and love, then we can't do it. You know, one of the hardest things I think that our elders have had to deal with through this as we try to make decisions for the church is how fast do we go with things? We know people want to all be back together. We know people want to quit having to wear masks. People want to quit having to have hand sanitizer on their hands all the time and all these things, you know. But at the same time, there's still a pandemic. There's still this terrible illness. And some of our own members have died from this disease. So how quickly do you do what you want to do? What's the respectful thing to do? And what's the thing to do that keeps with God's plan for this church? How do you know what his timing and what his authority and what his power wants us to do? Now, on the one hand, some of the things that we're just dying to get back to doing, they certainly fit into what God wants us to be doing. But the other side of that is, we also know that God is a God of love. And God would not want us to be disrespectful to our vulnerable brothers and sisters. He would want us to be respectful of their needs and their safety And so he wants us to have that balance. He wants us to figure out how you make this thing work in his timing, by his authority, and by his power. And I believe we need to do that. We need to be very careful about how we do it. And we need to not limit ourselves. We need to find the best way to do what we need to do to obey God's commands and his mission for the church, and do it in love and in righteousness. Or it's not God's timing. It's not God's timing if it's not dependent on God's power. What we tend to do, and this scares me, I have to say this to you, as your minister, as your brother in Christ, it scares me that our emphasis is sometimes on what we want to do and what we're capable of doing, rather than stretching ourselves to do what we can only do by God's power. I don't believe, with Jesus Christ as the head of this body, that he intends for the body to play it safe and do only what we can accomplish by our human ability. Where's faith in that? God intends for us to depend on his power. Paul had to learn this as he began his Christian walk, knowing that God had a special purpose for him. He had to figure out exactly what was this gospel message he needed to be preaching. He had to figure out how to do things in the right timetable, because some of the places he wanted to go and preach were not the places that God wanted him to preach at that particular time. So he had to keep it according to God's authority and God's timetable. But also Paul had to pay attention to the power for what his ministry would do coming from God and not himself. There's no doubt that Paul had great ability. And God used his great ability to his glory, to God's glory. But God did not want Paul to get into a ministry that only relied on the strength of Paul. And God does not want our churches to rely only on our strength to do what we want to do. God wants our churches to be involved in doing what God wants us to do, and to do it with his power. So that people will say, man, there are great things going on over there at that Graham Street Church. And they'll realize it's happening because of God's power. And God gets the glory for it. We don't want people to say how great we are. We want people to be saying how great God is working through them. That means we need to think about God's power. So if it's God's power, it will not contradict God's work toward his eternal plan, purpose, and mission. If we want to do something and we don't see how that work will stay in touch with God's eternal purpose and plan, then we need to not do it. Secondly, it will not contradict God's love for those in need. If we get so caught up in what we want to do and what we want to restart that we don't pay attention to the needs that God has called us to serve, we're contradicting God. God's work will continue to be meeting those needs of the people who are in need. And he expects the church to be his hands and feet. And number three, it will not contradict God's wisdom that is revealed through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of his church family. Brothers and sisters, it is so important that we all let ourselves be led by the Holy Spirit, and that we communicate with one another and help each other to understand what we need to be about. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is, we're no lone rangers. We don't come up with independently our way of doing things. David Bearden does not have the authority to tell the church of what it should be doing and how it should be doing it. No other individual in the church has that kind of authority. It comes from God's authority and God's power, and God wants us to work collectively as people who are led by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to do what we need to do as a church. And we need to pay attention to each other and do that. Trusting God's authority and power and waiting patiently on God's timing is how we will go forward. That's how we'll restart. Patience is one of the spiritual fruits. Galatians 5:22. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's God's timing. Psalms 37. For God is good to those who wait for him. Lamentations 3:25. And our patience often reveals the degree of trust that we have in God's timing. Oftentimes we rush ahead of God, not waiting patiently. And that shows we don't have trust in God. We often don't wait to find out what authority we have from God to do what we need to do. And we certainly often do not wait to be empowered by God to do what we do. We must remember that God operates according to his perfect and foreordained eternal schedule, not ours. I understand what you're saying when you say, I'll sure be glad when we get back to normal. But remember, God's at work. And he's working while we're getting ready to go back to normal. And when we go back to normal, our new normal better be better than our old normal. Because God's giving us the chance to think about it and to pray about it and prepare for it. It needs to be extraordinary. We don't want it to be ordinary. We don't want it to be normal. We want it to be known to be the power and the authority and the timing of God. So we need to take great comfort in knowing that when we wait on the Lord, we receive divine energy and strength. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27, 14. God has perfect timing. Never early, never late. It takes a little patience, and it takes lots of faith, but it's worth the wait. Brothers and sisters, let's be prayerful. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's encourage each other. Let's talk to each other. When you're in your small groups together, talk about what we need to do in our restart and how we can do it according to God's timing, his authority, and his power. And let's not settle for the normal. Let's make it great. And let's give God the glory. And let's do it in such a way that we're not the only one giving God glory, that people that see what we do as a church cannot stand but say, there must be a God working in that church. Led by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May people know that. May unbelievers know that. That there's just something about those people that it has to be God. They couldn't do it on their own. That's what I want us to be. But if we ignore God's timing and his authority and his power, we don't deserve to restart. We don't deserve it. If we're going to be his church, we do it his way. His timing, his authority, and his power. If you're looking for a church home this morning, we'd love for you to join us, because we're planning on doing some extraordinary things with God's help. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. If this morning you feel like you're just not where you need to be in your relationship with God, and we can pray for you and help you get in tune with God's timing, authority, and his power in your life, we'd love to do that this morning. If there's anything that you need this morning, we'd love to hear about it so we can help you. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to get ready for our communion time. And then after that, one of our shepherds, one of our elders in the congregation, will lead this congregation in prayer before we dismiss. And if you have a need, before that happens, we would love to have that shepherd include you in his closing prayer. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to study with you. We'd love to do whatever you need for us to do to help you to be in tune with God's timing, authority, and power. Daryl, lead us in a song.
Let's stand together.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, the darkness tries to hide. It trembles in his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all the world feel great. How great is our God? And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Please be seated. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper in a moment, Supper with the King. And this song is one of those songs that when I sing it, sometimes I get a little stuck because I get to thinking about what it means to be in Christ alone. The power of God that comes, that cleanses sin, that washes away the things that I've done. And I hope as we sing together, you'll let this song speak to your heart so that when we partake of that Lord's Supper, we'll have examined ourselves in ways that help us know that we are the body of Christ.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest doubt and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in whole, helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here is the power of Christ I'll
Before we pray, I want to thank each and everyone here this morning, from the little children to the oldest in attendance, this how much it means to me that we're all together. We're here to commune. And, you know, I want us to remember that as Jesus communed with his disciples, that he is alive and he's here communing with us today. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the love that you bestow upon us every moment of our lives. Lord, help us to clear our minds of the worldly things. Help us to go back. And Lord, help us to do this in a manner that is pleasing to you, that we remember that you allow Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God. Through his flesh, Lord, that was torn, Lord, that he could take care of our sins. And Lord, help us again to do this in a manner pleasing to you. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Dear God, as we continue our prayer to you, we also recognize, Lord, that through Jesus, Lord, he gave his blood, Lord, the nails were driven through his arms, through his feet, Lord, we just are so humbled, Lord, of the sacrifice. God, again, thank you for that. Thank you for your love. In your most holy name I pray. Amen.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot touch. What a wonderful song. Thank you for being here this morning. This eldership appreciates your desire to be here. Visitors, we're very thankful for your attendance this morning. We know you had other choices to worship, but our worship service was better this morning because you were here, and thank you for that. Congregation, we're very proud of the way you finished 2020, your giving. The eldership appreciates your heart. We appreciate your desire to be kingdom people and to live up to the opportunities that this church has laid in front of them. Daryl, thank you for singing this morning. David, thank you for the lesson. This eldership has a desire to get to one service someday, but on God's timing. Go out and be a blessing to people this week. There's opportunities every day. Opportunities every day to be a blessing. Don't worry about whether you're successful or you have a failure in blessing people. Allow the Holy Spirit to work with you in that endeavor. Be a blessing to people and be kingdom people. Prayer warriors, continue to remember the Caraway family in your prayers as Bruce continues to be on hospice. For Doug Savine and his two daughters and the loss of Sherilyn, continue to be in prayer for them. Also, Floyd Pierce's family. Floyd passed away this week. That's Kenneth and Betty Leslie's son-in-law. Just lift those people up in prayer. It's been a tough week. Tough week. But our Father started this, and he's going to finish it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to call you Father and for you to call us your children. Father, what a privilege. Father, thank you for this church family. Thank you for what they mean to your kingdom. Father, we appreciate the hearts of these members. We appreciate the willingness they had to help people this last week and this last year. Father, as David talked about, may we strive to look beyond the borders. Father, not to be limited by what this world will tell us we can do, but to be people for your kingdom and to do even more greater things in 2021 than we've done in the past. Father, we know in order for us to do that, we have to look to you and yield to you for your desires for this church family. Thank you for loving us. Father, we ask a special prayer for the Caraway family, the Savine family, the Pierce family, the people that have lost loved ones this week. Father, we thank you for the people that's on the front line, the people taking care of people, the great servants they are. Father, just give them strength, give them steadfastness. Father, forgive us when we fail you. And Father, when we are pursuing things that's in contradiction to your will, Father, defeat us in those things. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. Help us to see people through the eyes of your Son. Be more loving, more caring, more accepting. And Father, we pray for an extra measure of humbleness and humility as we go out this week. Help us to be courageous, to be willing to share the greatest story on this earth. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.